One day, a Christian man gets onto a bus. As he sits down, he sends up a quick prayer to God. Lord, I really want to share the good news of Jesus with someone today. Please give me a sign. At the next stop, another man gets on, sits next to the first man, sees he's wearing a cross and says, I'm sure you must be a Christian. I really wish you'd tell me about Jesus. Our first man puts his head in his hands, and he prays. Please, Lord, if you really want me to tell this man about Jesus, will you give me another sign? If you turn the bus driver into a crocodile, I'll know you really mean me to talk to him. Well, silly man. God gave him a sign on a plate, and that wasn't enough. He didn't understand what was looking him in the face, and he doesn't seem to have trusted God. And the Israelites in this morning's reading from Numbers are a bit like the man on the bus. I need to put in a bit of background here because the reading starts in a slightly strange place. But after all the ups and downs since God enabled them to escape from Egypt and from captivity, they have at last got to the borders of the land that God promised them, that land flowing with milk and honey. God made it quite clear that this is where he wants them to settle. That is his will. Moses, the leader of all these people, sends some men to go and explore the land, to check it out, see what it's like, who's living there. There's God's gift staring the Israelites in the face. He wants them to trust him, to go and to take it. But the Israelite expeditionary force, the spies who went over into the land, although they see the land is fruitful, they come back with all sorts of rumors. It swallows people up. It's full of strange people. All the people we saw there are of great size. We're like grasshoppers to them. It would be impossible to move in there. The rumor spreads, as rumors do. The people of Israel grumble. They want to turn tail and flee, even to go back to captivity in Egypt. They want to throw God's gift in his face. So far, so bad. But there are two people from the expeditionary force, Caleb and Joshua, who stand out against the mass grumbling and the disobedience. They have the courage to say that the rumors are wrong. We should do what God wants. God will be with us when we go into the land, and all will be okay. Sadly, the people did not listen to the faithful ones, and they are punished for their disobedience. It doesn't come into this reading, but if you read on, you'll find out that they all end up dying in the desert. And it's left to the next generation, another 40 years later, to fulfill God's will to take the promised land. But the two goodies of the story, Caleb and Joshua, are rewarded, I'm pleased to say. They made it to the promised land. Probably they were quite old by then, but they got there. They had acted as God wanted them to. Now, those of you who have been here for the last few weeks, and for the benefit of those who haven't, the Summon Sermon series is called Game Changers. At the start of this series, we heard about the overall vision of working to make the kingdom of God known to everybody. And in the following weeks, we've looked at the various steps you need to take to become part of that game-changing team. We need to make space to encounter God. We must sign up, enlist, to do God's work. And then last Sunday, Susie explained to us how we all have a part to play. We don't have to be rich and powerful or famous. We don't have to be old. We can be young. We can be any age. Anyone and everyone can do something to work for God's kingdom if they equip themselves properly. This work is for everyone. And today we're adding another building block in that picture of a game changer. You sometimes have to have the courage to dare to be different, to stand out against the crowd, to stand firm for God's will, even if it means going against everyone else or the culture of the day. Now, I have to say, I think it's quite hard for people in our culture to relate to the story from Numbers. And if I could put a personal note in, I think it's actually quite hard to preach on it, but I'm going to do my best. I think there's one clear lesson we can draw from it. As Christians, we have to be the Calebs and Joshuas in our community, the people who aren't afraid to stand up for what God wants rather than what the crowd want. It's all too easy to turn away from what God wants us to do. I'm not quite sure why the Israelite Expeditionary Force decided to spread bad rumours, but I think it may have been they just thought it was all too difficult. They were frightened. They couldn't be bothered. They didn't trust God. Who knows? But they certainly didn't do his will. And there are all sorts of things that can deter us from doing God's will. I expect you can think of many, but here's a few that I've thought of. Peer pressure. Particularly applies to young children, I think, in schools, but to everybody. You're in a pub. Go on, have another drink. Don't be a party pooper. Doesn't matter that you've had a few already and that you're driving a car. Cultural norms. Maybe this is more for a younger generation than most of us here today, but if you think of the way the attitudes to sex before marriage have changed. Sex before marriage, that's fine nowadays. Staying celibate is just old-fashioned. Don't bother. Very much a cultural norm. And you might not want to stand out from the crowd. I'm trying to think of a good example here, but in the workplace, often people grumble about management. You know, they're clamping down on us, making private phone calls from the office. How mean they are. We're not going to have anything to do with it. Oh, don't be such a prig. You don't mean you agree with them. No. You shouldn't. It's very easy to succumb, even if you don't go along with these cultural norms, not to challenge them. And it's very easy to succumb to rumour and false information. If I may be a bit political, I think no doubt some people voted to come out of Europe for very rational reasons. But I wonder how many people voted that way because of false information and scaremongering in the media about immigration. Just think about it. Of course, being clear about what is the right thing to do is not always straightforward, as it was in the examples of the man on the bus and the Israelites. But Moses, we know, kept in regular contact with God, and God had made it very plain what he required. He has said, "This is the land I'm giving you. Go and take it." There should have been no doubt. So one thing we need to do is to keep in contact with God. It might be through prayer, through reading the Bible, through going deeper and deeper into our faith. And this, I think, is what is meant by the word equip, which is the headline given to today's talk. We have to be properly equipped as Christians to follow God's will. The authors of the book on which this series is based quote Philip Yancey, whom a lot of you will have heard of. And Philip Yancey says, "Prayer may seem at first like disengagement, a reflective time to consider God's point of view. But that vantage presses us back to accomplish God's will, the work of the kingdom. We are God's fellow workers, and as such, we turn to prayer to equip us for the partnership." To equip us for the partnership. The authors go on to say that a lifestyle of prayer is vital to being a game changer, and they remind us how often Jesus turned to prayer, kept in touch with his Father. It was vital through his ministry. Even at the last, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying, and he was persistent. He kept saying, "Father, take this cup from me, take this cup from me, but then your will be done." He accepted what the Father said, even if it wasn't very comfortable for him to do that. And just refer to the New Testament reading this morning. Jesus was certainly a game changer. He stood up against the masses. He said, "This is the right thing to do. I'm doing it. You may not like it, but that's my Father's will." Having said all that, I'm left with a question. Can the actions of just one or two of us make a difference? Can standing out the mass view of the common culture, can it be game-changing? Well, I've been thinking about that quite a lot, and I've been trying to think of just a few examples. And I'm sure if you reflect on history, on the Bible, on recent history, on stories you've read, you can think of examples. But I'm just going to give you a few to kick the ball off. You all know about Rosa Parks, the colored woman who wouldn't let a white man take her seat on a racially segregated bus. She really, really gave the civil rights movement a kick start. One woman on a bus refusing to stand. That's a game changer. We've all probably come across John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, and some of us saw the play about him last year. There was a man who was quite a baddie for a long time, but he heard the word of God and he stood up against all the people who were profiting from the slave trade, even though he'd been a slave trader himself, and he worked for abolition. I like to think of St. Jamie Oliver standing up against the crowd, along with St. Delia, of course, these saints of the 20th and 21st century. Jamie Oliver has faced a lot of opposition in his campaign for healthy food in schools, but he's been a game changer. Are we all not a little bit more health conscious thanks to St. Jamie? I can remember even some of the mothers in the schools arguing with him and saying, "We don't want our children to have to eat all this salad. They love their crisps and their sausages in batter. How dare you change things?" But he has made a difference. And examples just come to me very recently. A girl called Lucy Gaviner. Have you heard of her? Anybody? Tesco eggs, yes. A young teenager who's been campaigning against Tesco using eggs from battery farm chickens. And actually, having had a rebuff or two, she's now making real headway. It would appear that Tesco is going to change their ways, thanks to one girl making a stand. So I think the challenge to each of us is to think whether there are matters within our individual spheres where we can make a difference by stepping out of our comfort zones to do God's will. There's a very interesting quote from Thought for the Day on Friday. I was struck by it. All of us can change the world by impacting one person at a time. Even small actions can be part of the game-changing scene. Standing alongside someone who's being ostracized by others. Standing up for someone who's being bullied. Using our purchasing power to make the right choices. Challenging someone who's making snide, casual, racist or sexist comments. Or refusing to join in silly, nasty gossip. And I'll here quote an example of which I'm not at all proud. But not so long ago when I was studying theology, and mind you, this was a theology school, people were making rather nasty comments about a fellow student who was always putting long and tedious blogs on the university website. And we all joined in casually, not, you know, being a bit snide about this person whom we scarcely knew. And then somebody said, "Stop it, you don't really know this guy. How dare you spread nasty things about him? Stop your gossip." And we were all very ashamed, I have to say. And when we came to meet the guy, we found out he was really a terribly nice chap, and he was facing some real problems in his life. And I think we were all justifiably very ashamed. And it's something which has impacted on me. Even casual gossip is very dangerous, and it needs to be challenged. And I'd like to think, and Sue will agree with me, that a few people here plugging away for a decade or two have changed this church from one where a few, 10 years or more ago, the PCC said, "We're not going to have an environmental policy. That's a hobby for a few of you, but it's nothing to do with church." We've changed to a church where caring for God's creation is now recognized as part of our mission as Christians, and we've recently signed up to become an eco church, and we're working for that award. So a bit of game changing here. I'd like you to think after this where you see things which are not in line with God's will and where you can make a difference, however small. Let us all ponder on this and pray about it. And then, equipped with the guidance and strength we draw from our Father in heaven, be prepared to act. After all, We are all followers of the greatest game changer of all time, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we pray you will show each of us how we can be game changers. Equip us with the insights to know your will and give us the strength to act in accordance with it. Amen.